Philippians 2, 5 to 11 from the New King James Version. Humble and exalted Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but took reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Welcome, Micah. We've come to an amazing point in our travel in Philippians. And Philippians is a great story. Just to set again some context, I want you to remember that what Paul is doing, Paul is writing to the Philippian church in an area called Philippi. Well, while Paul is writing this, he's actually in prison. And what has happened is somebody has come to visit him. They came to visit him in prison and give him gifts and bits and pieces like that to help him along the way. Because what used to happen in that time, when prisoners were in prison, it was up to the family to come and feed the prisoners. And so they brought gifts from the Philippian church to take care of Paul. And he's written back to them with some instruction, with some guidance, with obviously communicating to them his love for them. And in this scripture that we've been reading, there are some really, really powerful points that are written. It's an interesting scripture to look at that we're looking at, Philippians 2, because it is very quite self-explanatory what the Lord is saying, and what Paul is saying, should we say, or the Lord is saying via Paul to the church. And we're going to look into some of that today. But first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with a bit of a story. I just want to tell you about somebody. It'll make sense, isn't it? So recent times, we've had some very interesting political leaders. We've got some now. We've got some all over the world, all different political leaders, which are leading nations and countries. And it is interesting when people get power, how they react, how they relate themselves to the world, how they use that power. It's very interesting. I'm going to tell you the story of a man. This man, this guy called Turk Mangbashi, very obscure man. Don't know how many people have ever heard of him. But he, very recent times in the last 10 or so years, he has been the leader of a country called Turkmenistan. And what he did when he came into power, some of the things that he did were really strange, quite wild, if we describe it that. I'm going to describe some of the things that Turkmenbashi did when he came into power. He came in, and then he obviously, first of the things he did was he said he was in power for life. That was it. There's not going to be anything, there's not going to be any elections, there's not going to be any democratic choice over this matter. He's in power for life. And then as his presidency went on, he started to effect his power even more. What he did is he started to build statues of himself all across the country, massive, huge statues of himself, so people could look at him and his image. He was a quite an emotional man, and so there was, if things didn't, he didn't like things, he would just outlaw them completely. So things like, he didn't like opera, he banned opera completely throughout the country. He didn't like ballet. He banned ballet. He didn't like music being played in cars. He banned that completely. He didn't like a recorded music being played at weddings, so he banned that completely. He didn't like long hair on men, so he banned that. He didn't like beards. Can you imagine? He didn't like beards. I don't understand that. He banned that as well. He changed the name of January in that in Turkmenistan to be his name, Turkmenbashi. So you couldn't say January, you had to say his name. And I think it was April, he changed to his mother's name as well. He took his power to an extreme. He even changed the national religion to one that he had written himself, again, around Turkmenbashi. And, you know, and he had this book, which was called the Rukmanana, and he put it in schools and in all of the teaching facilities, and the teachers had, and as children had to pledge allegiance to him, and they had to read this book, which was his. It was actually called a Book of the Soul, and it was required reading amongst the school teachers. So can you imagine? This is what he did, and he ruled with an iron fist. All dissidents that wanted to rail up against this were either put in jail or put in a mental facility, and they had to adhere to his allegiance, his power, his viewpoint of the world, his version of the truth. As you can imagine, you know, and this is in recent times, as you can imagine, this is somebody that is consumed with their power, consumed with who they are, their status. And not only did they do it, was he consumed with it, he was effecting it. He acted on it. Really deep person, you know, and this is modern times. And as you say, you look at people all across history, there's been numbers of people that could we could look at that have similar mindsets. Really, really deep. Really, really, really deep. Now we come back to our scripture. I'm going to share my screen. And we come back to a scripture, and it starts off by saying in Philippians 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. I'm just going to stop at that verse first. The first point I'm going to talk about is our mindset. The word that they used in here, which is called attitude, was a word called phroneo, which means attitude, mindset, thinking, philosophy. It's all wrapped up into this thinking of the mindset. And the reason why Paul is saying we must have a mindset of that of Jesus Christ is because everything that we do starts with a thought, starts with a mind. That after, you know, we think on something long enough, it becomes an action. And you do that action more than enough, it becomes a habit. And you do that habit, your lifestyle is made up of a collection of habits that you have. And that kind of leads to where your destiny is, where you're going to end up. So it always starts off with a thought. The power of a thought, the power of your attitude, the power of your mind, the power of what you think about. And Paul is encouraging the Philippian church that they must have this mindset, the attitude, the thinking of Christ, Christ the Son. It's an it always makes me think, wow, because how do I have a mindset like Christ? My mindset is probably, well, it's wild in different ways. You know, I've got many, many thoughts all rushing through my mind. And how do I train my mind so that I can have a mindset of Christ? There's many different mindsets you could have, many different ways that you could be thinking, many different, what's the word I could use? Origins for the thoughts that you have. They could come from yourself. They could come from influences from your world, from the world that's outside. It could come from God, obviously. It could come from the enemy, it could come from your friends, it could come from your parents, children, TV, all of these different things that can influence your mindset and your heart and your thinking. And that ultimately adjusts or influences or changes or moves or has impact on, one, the way that you see yourself, and the one that and two, the way that you see the world around you and others. Now, we've only got one verse into this already, and this is quite a powerful thing. It's saying that we must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Christ Jesus, if you read on, it says, though he was God, this is verse 6, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. So I want you to kind of consider that at the moment. Let's think about who Jesus was. It said here, equality with God. Jesus is the Son, a part of the Godhead, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Now, God, the Father represents, there's many different ways that we can say that what the Father represents. But in this one, we're going to use God the Father represents the mind, the thinking of the Godhead. Jesus represents the body and the action, and the Spirit is obviously the spirit of the Godhead. But the mind of God, the thinking, the knowing. Imagine being God. You know, if I ask you a question, people like to ask, especially of children, if you had a superpower, what superpower would you have? If you could have a number of them, what superpowers would you have? Maybe you could know everything, be everything, have all the wisdom in the world, be able to heal everything, have all the money, have all the whatever you want, all the status, all the power, everything that you required, and be seen as a god, especially in this type of world that we live in. If you imagine having all of that power, all of that legitimately as well, not something that you just think about and you think, oh, I wish I had, but legitimately you were granted all of that power, the power of creation, the power to create a whole universe, the power to save, the power to do all of these amazing things which Christ Jesus had and is and does. Imagine all of that, all wrapped up in a person. And then you think, I'm going to give up all of that power, all of that ability. It's a hard thing. If there's one thing about humankind that we say, it is amazing. We do not like to go backwards. You know, we've been working through all of these through our lives, achieving many things, gaining status or getting, going up levels in whatever level you want to talk. Not many people want to go backwards, want to be reduced back to. And imagine that you had the power of God, the power of God. And you chose to empty yourself of that privilege and come and be born as a human being. Think about that. Jesus came as a human being and he was born as a child. Look at a child. How much power does a child have when they're newborn? Can you imagine that? They're completely dependent on the people around them. When a newborn child cannot even lift their head, a newborn child can just about communicate, can cry. They can, at the very first time, maybe that's all they can do, cry and feed and what have you. The power. Even in the first few months of a newborn child, you have to be very careful about the interaction that this child has with the outside world, because things like germs or people or all these things could pose a threat to this newborn child, because they are, inverted commas, defenseless. They still have to build up an immunity to the world. And imagine that the God of the entire universe came in the form of a child. It's a really powerful thing. He gave up all of the status in heaven, all of the status and deserved glory and honor and privilege and power. He gave that all up and came and was born as a human being, as a child placed in a family. It is amazing when you think about what Christ did, because Christ, in all of his knowledge of who he was and knowing who he was and what he was about, put himself in such a vulnerable position that even the creation that was around him, that he had created, he was there to help create, had power over him. You know, they could have taken his life when he was a child. In fact, wasn't that what they were trying to do when they heard that a new king was born? We're coming into that season where we hear that Christmas story. Remember that they were trying to take his life. He was vulnerable. Christ was born into a family, a human mother, a human father, that he was placed into that family. Obviously, he had a spiritual father as well, as we all do. But he placed himself in vulnerability for our sake. If we read there, in verse 7, it says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So here's a question for you, the first question. How do you think about yourself? Who are you? You know, who are you? What status do you have? Where you are in your position in your family and in this world and your work? Who are you? Christ here is telling us, Paul is telling us in this scripture that we need to have a mindset. And actually verse 4 says, especially in the way that we deal with others and in the way that we relate to one another, we should have the mindset of Christ. He says you must have the same attitude, the same phineo, the attitude, the thinking, the mindset of Christ that Christ had. The next verse 6 says, though he was God. So important thing, he was still God. He didn't necessarily give up that. He was still God. Still had that. He was still God. But he gave that up. And he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. He didn't hold on to it so tightly as many of us, including myself, want to hold on to things that we've been given, especially things that we deserve, things that we've earned, things that are rightfully ours, things that are ours, that you know, have cost us something to get. Nobody wants to give that up and go backwards. It's a hard statement. Paul encouraged us, the Philippian church, to have that mindset, especially as it relates to the world, especially as it relates to each other, of the example of Christ Jesus. And he introduces some words into this conversation, some themes, some methods, which we talk about and we describe as humility, having the humbleness of Christ. What is humility? Humility, I'm going to give you, here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It's a powerful statement. I put there, that's quality versus quantity. Even though you are a person of quality and high stature and all of these things, humility talks about thinking of yourself less. It's an important statement. You'll find that just like that description that I gave of Turkman Bashi, all throughout humanity, all throughout creation, there has been a battle in the mind, the mindset of creation versus the creator, if we call it that, or who we are. even as we started, as they started in the heavenlies, in the heavenly realm, even the very angels, the spiritual beings that were in the presence of God, manifest in the presence of God, they had the same issue. In fact, the high angel there that was called Lucifer, his mindset was that he wanted to be as God. He wanted to be like God. In fact, that he thought with all his position, all his power, all his status, everything, that he should be God. And that he, and then he convinced a number of the angels that are in there as well that, yes, this is true. I should be president-elect. I should be God. I should be in charge. And as you can imagine, when we read about the story of Lucifer's fall, and he was cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels, they were cast out of heaven, and that's when he became Satan. As a result of his mindset and his thinking towards God, his status, his power, his belief system about himself. When you look through that, you'll see that Satan has been trying to propagate that thought throughout humanity consistently. Garden of Eden, he said to Adam and Eve, you can be as God if only you can eat of the fruit of the tree. And you look at when they try to, there's so many examples through the Bible. I don't know what the Tower of Babel. They, in their mind, they conceived the fact that they could reach God with this amazing edifice that they were going to build. You know, or all throughout humanity, we can see examples of people that, you know, Pharaoh wanted to call himself, now I am the God. I am the bright morning sun. I am all of these different things. Pharaohs. You had emperors. Nero, Caesar, Augustus, all of these people that have come through time that have affected the world around them based upon their mindset of themselves and what they wanted to do. And it's interesting that we look about that, because the way that we think about ourselves doesn't just affect us. It affects our community. It affects who we talk to. It affects how we go about our lives. It affects our environment. And what Paul was saying to the Philippians was that, come, let us think about how we think about ourselves and have that mindset as Christ has got. Now, Christ, as we said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. You can be a king. There's no doubt about it. You can be Dr. This and have all the degrees. You could be Mr. and Mrs. Entrepreneur. You can be rich. You can be poor. You can be super fit. You could be the fastest man on earth. You could have the world records for all of these things. And these are completely true things. We're not saying that these things are not true, but we have to remember that the ability, the status, these things that have come to us, God has allowed his grace for those things to happen. If I was to give you £1,000 as a gift, and then I came back to you and then I said, hi, I'm a friend. I wonder if you could come and help me do something, please. I've got some tasks which I've got to do down the road. And then you sat back and then you said, do you know who I am? And I was like, I don't understand what you mean. Do you know who I am? I mean, I'm the man that's got £1,000. You can't talk to me like that. Do you know who I am? I now have this status. Or if it was £1 million, or if it was £10 million, do you know who I am? Do you know how important I am? Do you know what this means now? Do you know that I can't be hanging around with you people like that because, you know, I have £1 million? I would be looking at you thinking, wait a minute, how am I supposed to be so impressed by what you've got there, this gift that I've given you, when I'm the one that gave it to you? And sometimes we act like that towards God. God is the one that has given us all our abilities. I mean, we are privileged, and many of us are privileged in the fact that, you know, where we live, where we were born, where we are at the moment. if we're employed, if we have a family, if we have children, if we have food, if we have clothes. There's so many people in the world that don't have those. If we have health, if we have, there's things that are all of these. And God has given those to us as a gift. And they are correct and they are true. And you do have those things. Even if you have position and power, God has, you know, allowed that to happen. That's fine. You could be prime minister. You could be king. You could be emperor, empress. You could be queen. And that's fine and true and dandy. But at the same time, with all of these things, it is God the Father that has given them to you, that has allowed these things to happen. And it is his gift. And so us waving our gift back to God by saying, do you know who I am? It doesn't impress God. Lucifer was given all of these things in heaven. He was given all of these abilities, this status. And he then stood up and said, do you know who I am? I should be God. I could do this better than you. Powerful. I know that they seem like extreme versions of events. Lucifer or Tetmanbashir, all of these other people, Moses, Pharaoh. But it all started with that first verse, that mindset that we have. We need to remember that what God has given us is a gift from God. Yes, it's a gift from God, but how do we use these gifts from God? How do we go about our lives? How do we relate to one another as a result of these things? And so I like to come back to the scripture and say, Jesus, with all the power, with all the authority, with all the glory in heaven, with all the majesty, with all the everything that he had, and deservedly so, gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. That's important, that statement. So not only did Jesus give up his power and privilege, he came down to earth, into our world, and took the humble position of a slave. In many worlds, you know, being a slave is the lowest of low. You don't own yourself. You don't own when you can get up, when you can, what you can do. You belong to somebody else. And there are not many people that will take their kingship, their crown off, lay it down and say, that's where I'm going to go. I need to become a slave. Be humble in action. Be humble to man, to come and serve man. This is his creation, his gift already, you know, to come and serve these people. Wow. And he came as a human being and appeared in human form. And he humbled himself to the obedience of God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Before, in some of the other scriptures prior to this, you know, Paul was talking about sacrifice and things that we have to go through to be as Christ, so that our heart is renewed and our perspective is changed and all of these different things, but also so that we can share in his glory. And it is amazing that we have been asked to come and share our gifts, share our talent, and humble ourselves and serve as a slave to a community, to a world, to a family that might not even acknowledge you. Imagine that the person that gave you life, the person that gave you power and status, you are turning around and saying, I don't even believe in you. I don't believe that you have this power. I don't even believe that you are king. This person, you'd be like, what? If your child said, I don't even believe that you're my father or you're my mother. You know, you, the mothers that are out there, you carried this child for how many months? Your sacrifice. And this one says, I don't even believe you're my mother. That is deep. And yet you still serve this child. You still serve this world. It is a really heavy scripture. Simple, but a heavy scripture that we are reading. Now, It says here, he humbled himself in the obedience of God. Christ knew who he was, but he also submit himself to the will and the thinking of the Father. And the same thing I say to all of us, and what the Lord is saying to myself as well, to everybody, is that God knows who you are. God has created who you are. Let us remember who has created us. Let us remember who placed us into this destiny, who placed us into this world. Let us remember who has been there from the beginning of earth, beginning of time, beginning of this universe, creative power, everything that is there. That same mindset is the one that is ultimately leading what is happening. And we have to remember our position when it comes to Christ and when it comes to God. We are the creation, he is the creator. He has a plan for us, and we should submit to him. Especially when we are believers, we should be conscious of the fact that not necessarily everything that we think in our mind, or the way that we see things, or the viewpoint that we have, is the way that it should be. We should be constantly interrogating our thoughts, our minds, our attitudes, our thinking, to think, does this reflect Christ? Does this reflect the will of the Father? Does this, you know, is what I'm doing just around my thoughts, my status, my power, my ability, things that have been given to me, my glory, inverted commas. But can we humble ourselves and come to Christ and say, you know what? I submit to you and your will. I submit to your mind, your thinking about this matter. I submit to your viewpoint about this situation. I submit to your words around this person. It's hard, but it is possible through the Spirit of God. God wants us to remember Christ's example. Christ came to the world, and he emptied himself of all of these powers and all of these different things that were there, all this glory. He had emptied himself and still came down and managed to live as a man and submitted as a man, submitted unto the Father in this same world. All the temptations that we have, all of the intricacies, he had to grow up and learn. He had to grow up and serve his mother and father, serve his community. He had to grow up as an adolescent. He had to grow up as an adult. He had to grow up with all of these things as a normal human being. And yet God used him in a mighty way to save the entire universe. It says that, therefore, God elevated, he died a criminal's death on a cross. Now, I just want to pick up that point. Now, the criminal's death in that world, in that area where they were, in that Roman world where they were, that was the worst form of death that they could give. Romans weren't even crucified, but criminals were crucified. Slaves were only crucified. And they crucified Christ on a cross for our behalf. Now, you would think, and the enemy would think, and the world would think, that imagine now the God of the universe has come to this world, and he didn't come and lord it and come and, so to speak, he didn't come and say, from this day forward, you must do A, B, and C because I say so. He was trying to do the will of the Father. He was talking about the will of the Father. He gave instruction, he gave power, he gave all of these different things. But what did Christ do with the power that he had? He didn't go in and come in and sit on the throne, which he quite rightly could have. He exalted himself on big statues if he wanted to, and sat down, changed every day of the week to his name, all of these different things, quite rightly, quite deservedly. He didn't come and do that. Instead, he came and served the Father's will. He came and he healed people. He came and he delivered people. He came and he preached to people. He came and he served people. He served humanity. So, and he served humanity to the point that he came and died a criminal's death. He didn't need to. He could have called down angels to save him. He was perfectly within his right to wipe out all humanity if he really wanted to. But no, he came to serve. He laid down all of that power and glory and all of these different things and served the will of the Father, the mind of the Father. It said here, therefore, God created him. This is verse 9. God created him to the place of highest honor, or elevated him to the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the glory of the Father. It's really powerful. Really, really, really powerful when you think about what he did. He didn't come in and proclaim himself. God proclaimed him. God elevated him. With all the status that he had, with all the power that he had, he could have come in and lorded it over people, but he didn't do that. In fact, what actually happened was that God the Father gave him the name that was above every other name. And some people say that name is Jesus, or some people say that name is Jesus the Christ, the Lord, either one. But it is interesting that this scripture talks about three different realms that we're even talking about here as well. It talks in the heavens, there's no name higher than him. On earth, there's no name higher than him. Under the earth, there's no name higher than him. And eventually, all of creation, everything, every tongue will declare that Christ Jesus is Lord. And Lord is a word of is a word that describes dominion. It's somebody that has power over, has rights over all of these different areas, and he has rights over us. And every tongue living on that, or that has lived, that's buried, or in the heavenlies, under the earth, in hell, will declare that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So what he did is he came and he humbled himself, and he displayed humility in action, and he gave himself even unto death, so that we could live. But as a result of that, God elevated him back to the highest honor, not the lowest honor which he came into the world. He was elevated back to the highest honor, and he was given the name above all other names. In this world that we live, a name is an important thing, a powerful thing. People try to magnify their own name in many ways, online, in the world, in media, and all of these different things, to be this special name. And sometimes when you hear certain names, this person is coming to town, that person is coming to town, people change their behaviors. People act differently. There could be hysteria, there could be fear, there could be joy, there could be all of these different things, just because you've heard that this person, this name is coming. Or some people want to have this name on their clothes, or on their car, or on their house, or on their produce, because it represents the highest quality, or what have you. But Jesus is a name that is above every other name. When the Queen comes, the Queen of England, there's protocol around how people have to respond to her, and that is enforced by her guards and what have you. You can't just walk up to the Queen and hug the Queen and spud the Queen and, you know, do everything you want to do, but you have to follow protocol to even get to her presence. She's far away in a place that you can't just go and walk into. There's protocol that comes with that. The Queen doesn't just bow to anybody. people bow to her most of the time. You know, with the president or the prime minister or the leaders or the kings and queens, you don't just have access to their presence. You don't just have access to their lives just like that. And they have status and they have power. And it's true, they have status and power and all of these different things. And some of them do lord it over us. But this example that we have been shown here by Christ, even though he had all of these power, status, all of these things that he had, he emptied himself and came to serve. He was thinking of us. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. He was still God. He was still there before the beginning of time. But he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about us. And so the challenge that we've got about how we live our lives, especially with each other and with our world and with our community, is with everything and with all the gifts and with all the glory and with all the power, with all the bits that you've been given, how are we interacting with the world? How are we interacting with the church? How are we interacting with our God, our Father? Can we think of ourselves less? Can we think of others more? Can we think of the will of the Father more? Can we humble ourselves to the will of the Father, the mindset? Couple questions. Do I insist on having my own way all the time? Do I think that the other person is the one who needs to change all the time? Do I complain and criticize versus do I give gratitude or encouragement? How do I relate to others? How do I relate to Micah? How do I relate to my world, my workplace, my family? Am I going to lord it over you and ban opera or TV or whatever it is in my house because I have that power? Am I going to ban beards or long hair or because I don't like it? Or am I going to put a statue of myself up because, you know, quite rightly, I have this, it's my house, I bought it. I could put a statue up if I want in my own house. Come and serve me. Come and bow down to it every day. I want you to open up this. I know it sounds funny and extreme, but in little ways, our mindset can be like that by the way that we treat each other, by insisting that we have our own way, by insisting that it is our way, or we know everything, or we know the outcome. When maybe we should be thinking, what is the Father's will for this? How do we change our mind? How do we put that mind within us, except for ask God to do so, except for to read his mind, his word, except to engage with his spirit, and except to engage with his will? So here's the challenge for us from Paul's letter to the Myconians, is what I'm going to call us. How can I actively serve somebody this week? How can I forego my rights, my stature, my position in favor of somebody else's betterment? Not looking for glory or recognition or anything like that. How can I give time, encouragement, finance? How can I be humble in action? How can I submit myself to the will of the Father in other people's lives? So I'm going to challenge, and I feel that the challenge for us this week is to think about these things. How can I actively serve somebody this week? How can I forego my rights, stature, position in or favor or in somebody else's betterment? Yes, you are leader of big organization. Yes, you are a big person, big qualified A, B, and C, but you can still help. Jesus did it even to people that had cursed him, that didn't love him. He did it unto death. He came and he gave. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only son. That was sacrifice. How can we give to somebody this week and ongoing? How can we demonstrate humility and the mind of the Father? All of the examples that I gave of people, you can see how the way that they thought about themselves and the way that they thought about others affected their world. That leader of that country affected everybody in that country, all of the children, all of the people working there, all of the families there. Lucifer affected heaven. Pharaoh affected Egypt and the like and all that. You affect your environment, your people group, your church, your family, your lives, your children, your friends. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to take off the crown that quite rightly has been given to us or you've earned and take it off and lay it down and see how we can serve somebody, how we can consider somebody else, how we can actively, on purpose, humble ourselves to the will of the Father. Do we pray for others? Do we consider giving to others? Do we fast for others? Do we stand in the gap for others? Even though you have all rights to pray for your life and your will and what you want to achieve and everything that's right in your life, even though you have, can we forego our rights in this situation, our time, our stature, our position for somebody else? How can I give? So the takeaways of this today, 3 points I'm going to say. Can we check our mindset? How do we think? Do we have the mindset of the world? Do we have the mindset of me, your parents, your upbringing, a TV program, different music? What is our mindset? Or is it the mindset of the Father? How can we apply humility? How can I serve as Christ? Simple takeaway today. And I'm going to pray. Lord, I bless you this morning. I thank you for the word that you've given us. As we follow on this morning, we ask, oh Lord, that you will give us the same attitude, the same phroneo, the same attitude, thinking and mindset of that of Christ had. As Paul encouraged the Philippian church to, and as we take it as he's encouraging the Micah church to have the same attitude as that as Christ. Though we have power and all of these things, and we have blessings, and we have grace, and now we have mercy, we have finance, we have status, we have jobs, we have family and all of these things, and you put us in Christ, you know, seated at the right hand of God the Father, that we didn't think of this equality with God or this stature or this position that you've given us as something to cling to. But Lord, we help us with your Spirit to give up our divine privileges and take that humble position as a slave to others or to serve others. Lord, we thank you for your example. We thank you that your example has shown us that it's not all revolving around our atmosphere or our world or our thinking, but it's actually your atmosphere, your world, your universe, your mind. And help us to remember to revolve around what your will is, what your plan is. Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son, and he died for us, but then he elevated. You elevated him and you placed him at the highest height. And we declare that, yes, not my name, not the name of anybody else, not my position, not no power, but the name of Jesus is the highest above all other names. And that every knee in heaven and on earth will declare, and on under the earth will declare, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we declare that this morning. Help our lives to be humble in action so that we can declare that you are God. You are God the Father. You are the highest. And it's not our lives. It's the lives that you have given us on rent. And we say thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. And we give that to you in Jesus' name. Amen.